Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is never late. It is active. It is sharp. Thank you, Lord, because your word will flow through today. Come out with precision, oh God. Come out with accuracy, oh God. Come out clear. Build roots, deep roots in the hearts of your children. Father, let faith arise as your words go forth today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So again, welcome to the house of the Lord. Praise God. Last week was powerful service, right? Powerful service. Just we were so blessed to witness Brother Sam's 60th birthday Thanksgiving service. Such a glorious time in God's presence. We're just celebrating God's goodness in his son's life. It's nothing like celebrating the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what? You speak life, you get to celebrate life. You know, that's why we speak life. That's why we speak life to our being. We speak life to everything that the Lord has blessed us with. Speak life over yourself, amen. Now, I've been blessed to hear some of Brother Sam's testimonies over the years. You know, when you interact with Brother Sam and he gives you one testimony, you're just there. You're just speechless. You're just, wow. You mean you are the one the Lord blessed like this? And, you know, Brother Sam, you're always cool and laid back. We just give you that smile. Yeah, the Lord did it. But, you know, I've been blessed to hear some amazing testimonies. So there was one time he had shared. Now, I'm not going to share his testimony. You know, that's his testimony. I would never be able to share it the way he would. But God has been good to him. He came out and he testified of the Lord's goodness. Amen. God is forever faithful. He is forever faithful. To me, I always call God the God of the wow. You know, he just comes and you're like, wow. Wow in my life, wow in my brother's life, wow in my sister's life. God is just wowing left, right, and center. So all I can say is the God of the wow has been good to me. He's been good to you. Amen. So during last week's service, God said three things to Brother Sam through our senior pastor. God, and I'm just going to paraphrase. God said, arise and meet me halfway, and I will meet you. I will do some surprising things in your life. Engage my grace. And the last word was, continue to honor me. If you honor me, I will honor you. If you remember, you know. And that was God's word for Brother Sam, but it applies to every single one of us. So I hope you got yours, and I hope you found a way to just walk it into your life, you know. You know, just walk those words into your life. So a few weeks ago, as we were declaring our 2026 prophetic confession, like we always do before every service, there was a witness in my spirit with a special emphasis on God placing us in seats of honor. You know, that line in our confession, in this season, it's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. So, your brother here was fixated on the word seats of, placing them in seats of honor. Amen? And so, last week's service, as our senior pastor was talking about honoring God, just confirmed what the Lord had been speaking to me. So, I knew that the next time I got the opportunity to minister, it would be in seats of honor would be my main theme. Amen. So today's message is titled, "Your Seats of Honor Have Been Prepared and Reserved for You." Amen. Your seats of honor have been prepared and reserved for you. And just real quick, I actually have a reserved seat for somebody here today. You don't know who it is? So I'm just going to let you... Oh, look at the fan. Well, the seat is reserved for someone in this house. You know, that's how it is with God. He's kept the seat reserved for you. You know, but you're sitting over there, right? That seat is customized for you. God has put it together. Everything you need is on that seat. It's a place of honor that he has set aside for you. But you need to get from where you are to that seat, to inherit that seat. Amen. So our main text today is taken from Hannah's prayer of praise in 1 Samuel 2, from verse 8 to 9 in the NLT version. 1 Samuel 2, from verse 8 to 9 in the NLT version. And the word of God says, he lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. For the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his faithful ones, verse 9, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Amen? And then let's check out 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We read from the New King James Version. And this is God rejecting Eli's household. Therefore, the Lord of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I would honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen. That's a promise from the Lord. It says, if you honor me, I will honor you. And as children of God, we have many non-negotiables in the word of God. Like non-negotiables, this is a must. This is a command from the Lord. At the top of that list is honoring God, right? That's, I believe, at the top of that list, it is honoring God in everything that you do. This is a command from the Lord. Those who honor me, I will honor. When you honor God, it means you prioritize God, right? It means you place him and him alone above anyone and anything. You know in whom and where you place your honor. Where you place your honor governs, it directs your actions. It directs your life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God first. Remember that God is a God of order. And God's order is seek God and his kingdom first. Honor him with all your being, and he will give you everything you need. He will honor you. That is a promise. You can take that to the bank. All of God's promises, they are yes, they are amen. So I was talking with two of my kids during the week, and I asked them, what's the most important life lesson you've learned so far in your lives? I'm not naming any names today, so I'll have you guess who said what. So the first one said, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I looked at him, I said, true, but is that the most important thing? Is that the most important life lesson that you've heard? Experienced in your life or you heard? And they're looking at me funny, like, okay. So the other one said, to everything, said there is a time and season for everything under the sun. I'm like, true. Then I got impatient. I said, you know what? Let me tell you what my life lesson is. The most important life lesson for me so far in my life is, I said, God first, everything else follows. And so they agreed with me. And so we're all in agreement with God's word. Because as children of God, we're called to prioritize and honor God first in all that we do. In all that you do, honor God first. Check your actions. Will God be pleased? You know how you're doing it? You're doing some things. You think you're hiding. You think nobody's going to see you. You're just going to change those numbers. You're just going to tell that quick lie. You're all by yourself over the phone. Nobody can see you. But God is everywhere. And that is not honoring to him. Honor God first in all that you do. And then remember the Ten Commandments. And one of my kids said, love God, love people. I said, yes, that is true. It starts with love God. Honor God. So that was a teachable moment. But bottom line is, it must start and end with God. He is our everything. He is our Alpha. He is our Omega. Everything in between. He is your source. The source of life, the source of truth. He is everything. And God has prepared and reserved your customized system of honor. It's customized for you. He knows exactly what you need. He's not going to give my seat to Pastor Kermit. He's not going to give it to Deacon Uche. That's not how God works. My seat is mine. You know, my journey is mine. No, he's a God of timing. He's always on time. And our God is never impromptu. He's not impromptu. Mm-mm. He's very strategic, you know, very proactive. Nothing takes God by surprise. It's never unplanned. You step into it, it's not unplanned. Never unplanned. Nothing takes God by surprise. He sees the destination before the journey even starts. You know, let's take a look at Isaiah 46, verse 10. Read from the NLT. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Only I, says the Lord, can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Amen. Many people, some believers included, believe that God reacts to situations. Just believe that, you know what, God improvises as he goes along. My problem arises, then God is trying to figure out how to solve it. Nah, God is the ultimate planner, the master architect, the master orchestrator. And you best believe that he's not waiting on you to honor him before preparing your seats of honor. When God says, I will honor you, your seats of honor have been prepared for you. You know? Our God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the great provider. So whenever he makes a promise, the provision for that promise exists. He has already made the provision for the promise. So if you take a look in your life, you've gotten to some places where you never in your wildest dreams thought you would be. That is the Lord. It's not by your strength. It's not by your wisdom. Definitely not by your education. Not by your connection. It is the Lord. So when God says, those who honor me, I will honor. He has already prepared honor packages for his children. Ready. Fully. In a bow. And it's beautiful. It is perfect. It is the only honor package that you need. The only honor package that you need. So how do we inherit our seats of honor? It's very simple. Stick to divine basics. Never compromise the divine basics. You honor God. That's the pathway. That's the pathway to your seats of honor. You put God first. You prioritize God's will. You prioritize his way. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You choose to be led by the Holy Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. Spend time in God's word. Ask God for direction. You know, honoring God is your prerequisite, you know, to occupying your seats of honor. You have to honor God first. He's ready to. His desire is to honor you, you know. So there are no shortcuts where the word of God is concerned. Your lifestyle must be pleasing to God. So you need faith. Your obedience to God's word must be unrivaled. You can't play with God's word. Can't compromise God's word. You know? No matter how convenient it seems, your obedience to God's word must be second to none. It must always be next level with excellence. It's like, God, I want to obey you. If you're weak, ask him for strength. Ask him for wisdom to always obey him. You must love. You must walk in humility. You must intentionally honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your giving. Honor the Lord with your time. Honor the Lord with your actions. Honor the Lord in every area of your life. And today I believe that God is drawing our attention to the truth that in this season, he has already prepared and reserved seats of honor customized for every single one of us. Amen. Amen. So the question is, what good is a prepared seat of honor if it is never inherited? Got a special seat for a special person in the house today. You know, it's just sitting right there. It's not in, it's reserved. Is it reserved for somebody? Sign on there. But what good is that seat if it's reserved for you and you never get to sit on it? You know, that's not God's best for us. God loves us. His desire is to honor us. His desire is for you to sit, enjoy, rest in his love. In the United States, research has shown that over $25 billion, that there are over $25 billion in unclaimed gift cards and store credit. You know, over $25 billion. People have paid for these gift cards, paid for it, so store credit. But where are those gift cards located? In some wallet, in drawers, nooks and corner, under your car seat, some maybe inside a long-lost forgotten book. Some maybe you have a storage unit. There are like tons of gift cards in there that you don't know about. You know, that is valuable money just sitting down there, you know. But the bottom line is that even though those cards carry value based on the balances, the recipient has not yet enjoyed the value of the card. And you know what happens when your gift card expires? That's happened to me before, where I just see this gift card, you're like, my God, it's expired. And then you got Target, Walmart, Amazon, all their cousins, they're like, thank you. You know, they're just like, thank you very, very much. You are the special guest of honor today because we have your money and we have our goods, you know. So we see the gift cards are prepared, the values assigned, the gifts, the cards are gifted to the recipient, but the possession of the blessing they haven't taken. You know, God forbid. May this never be our portion where our God-ordained seats are concerned in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to know that God's prepared seat is ours. We need to inherit those seats. You know, just because God has prepared that seat for you doesn't automatically mean that you get to sit on it. There's work to be done to occupy your seats of honor. You must honor God to unlock his honor in your life. You just have to. That's the pathway to being honored by God. You honor the Lord with all your being. Amen? No, he says it. It's very clear. It doesn't get clearer than that. Those who honor me, I will honor. And it's simple to remember. Very simple to remember. Simple to execute with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know? Honor God. Amen. So it was very heavy in my heart this week. God wanted me to let his children know that he has prepared these seats. He's reserved your seats of honor for every single one of his children. And there's so much. There's more than enough to go around. You know? That's how God works. Cattle on 1,000 hills, they all belong to him. So he has more than enough. He has, it's inexhaustible. Amen. And God has written that perfect story for your life. He's written that perfect story for your life. And he needs you to honor him. He needs you to let him turn the pages. This was very, very strong in my spirit over the week. Like, God wants you to let him turn the pages. You know, if you take a look at a child, a book that a child likes, he wants to read it in one day. You know, it's like, I got to finish it. But sometimes we get impatient. You know, you just want to turn that page. You want to get to the end. God's timing is impeccable. Trust his timing. Trust his guidance. Trust his direction, his agenda. It's the best. It's perfect for you. Be patient. Never be in a hurry. You know, he's promised to guide us. The book of Psalms 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Let the Lord guide you. Let him instruct you. Let him teach you. Let him guide you. You know, let him direct your steps at all times. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Word of God says that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That is a guaranteed promise. You know, you can't go looking around trying to occupy someone else's seat. Your seats are your seats. You know, that's God's best for you. So stay in your lane. Everybody say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, amen. Must honor God. Our lives depend on honoring our Heavenly Father. And not just our lives, our generations. You know, it affects generations. How you honor God doesn't just affect you, it affects your generations as well. So let's take a quick look in the Bible at three generations: Saul, Jonathan, and Mephibosheth. Amen? In the lives of these men, we can clearly see that there were consequences for disobeying God, for dishonoring God. That's in the case of King Saul. We all know the story. We'll read some Bible passages on that. Then when we look at Jonathan preserved God's honor. And Mephibosheth, he just inherited his seat of honor that the Lord had prepared and reserved for him. Not just followed the rhythm of God's grace and inherited his own seats. Amen. In Saul's case, God chose him and placed him on the throne as the king of Israel. He was anointed. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. I think we'll be using the NLT. Let's use the NLT. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be ruler over Israel, his special possession. Verse 24. Then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. God honored Saul. God favored him. God chose him. But later, Saul dishonored God and honored himself. He honored his opinions over God's commands. He honored the approvals of the people. He let convenience take over his life. He was proud, honored his position, you know, over the presence of God. You can't do that. And we all know great was his fall. He lost his seat of honor. Because he stopped honoring God. Honoring God must be continuous, daily, nonstop. You wake up in the morning, it's, I'm going to honor you today, Lord. Help me honor you today. That must be your heart's cry. You know? Word of God says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. You must stay humble. When the Lord honors you, stay humble. Don't get to the seat of honor and think that you have arrived, that you got there by yourself. It is the Lord's doing. Marvelous in your eyes. Stay humble. Amen? You know, God's honor is never negotiable. You don't joke around. You don't trivialize it. You don't compromise it. It's a no-no for every child of God to trivialize the honoring God. You've read the word of God. You've seen it boldly, in bold print in his word. Honor me. I will honor you. Amen? How about Saul's son? Let's take a look at Jonathan, his oldest son, heir to the throne, great warrior. He was next in line to be the next king. You know what that feels like? Everybody knows that you are next in line to be next king. But what did he do? He recognized the hand of God upon David. And he honored God's plan. He submitted to God's plan. You know, that was hard. That was hard. But he did it. He honored God. He put honoring God over his comfort, over his status. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 23, verse 17. Amen. So David and his men, about 600 of them now, left Keilah and began roaming the countryside. Word soon reached Saul that David had escaped, so he didn't go to Keilah after all. David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and in the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted him day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. One day, near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and kill him. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. "Don't be afraid," Jonathan reassured him. "My father will find you. My father will never find you. You are going to be the king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware." Jonathan honored God. He honored God's will. He honored God's agenda, God's purpose, God's choice. Even his father knew that when David is king, Jonathan, heir to the throne, naturally, will be right by David's side, supporting David. That is honoring God's plan. Amen? Jonathan stayed in his lane. He stayed very well in his lane. He stayed in his lane. He surrendered the throne. He didn't fight God's plan. He just humbly submitted to it. You know, he just came to realize that what God wants is that David was chosen to be the next king, not me. And he went, "Not my will, but yours be done." You know what? That's honoring God. Amen. Then he made a covenant with David in 1 Samuel 20 from verse 11 to 17 in the NLT. 1 Samuel 20, 11 to 17. Such a great story of, you know, just staying loyal, being faithful, having a clear understanding of what the Lord is doing. I read from verse 11. "Come out to the field with me," Jonathan replied, and they went out there together. Then Jonathan told David, "I promise by the Lord, the God of Israel, that by this time tomorrow or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let you know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know. But if he is angry and wants you killed, may the Lord strike me and even kill me if I don't warn you so you can escape and leave. May the Lord be with you as he used to be with my father. And may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, saying, "May the Lord destroy all your enemies." Verse 17, "And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as he loved himself." Amen. You know, someone who totally understands God's will and fully surrendered to it. Years after Jonathan and Saul, they died. You know, they died on the same day. And David remembered his covenant with Jonathan. You know. Now let's look at Mephibosheth, the chosen one. The one who inherited God's reserved seat of honor. He was elevated by the grace of God to eat at the king's table continually. Amen? And that story of Mephibosheth, let's look at 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled, but as she hurried away, she dropped him and became crippled. So at age 5, Mephibosheth had lost his grandfather, lost his father on the same day, lost his inheritance, became crippled at age 5. you're royalty, but this happens to you. You know, he didn't even get to fully understand the blessings, the royal status, age 5, and all of these had happened to him. And at the end, he ended up laying low in Lodibar, you know, place of obscurity, just laying low, just probably just waiting. But as there is a Lodibar, there is also a Hidibar for God's people. As low as it is, there's a lifting up for you. God is taking you to a higher place. You know, just have to trust him. You know, because Lodibar was not his final destination. And the Lord knew that. You know, so God reserved him a seat at King David's table. You know, in this season, the shift is here. There is a lifting up. In this season, the shift is here. There is a lifting up for me, and I'm taking over. That should be your confession. Amen? Because back in those days, you know, kings, I mean, they attempted to just take out, you know, families of their rivals so that they would never get to seek the throne. That's what kings did back in the day. But David was no ordinary king. He was a man after God's heart, and he honored covenant, you know? So he remembered his covenant with Jonathan. David remembered his covenant with Jonathan. And in case you're wondering, because I wondered, I'm like, why did it take so long? You know, God's a God of timing. But if you look at David's life, David was a busy man. You know, after he became king, okay, first, let's take care of these people that are loyal to King Saul. So there was a long war. They fought that long war. And then after that, there were so many other battles that he had to fight. He had to fight surrounding enemies. And you can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8. I mean, it talks about David's many military victories. He was a very, very, very busy man. So after he had finished fighting after the wars, you know, things calmed down a bit. So there was peace. And there's clarity in peace, you know. When you have peace, you have clarity. But thank God for 2 Samuel chapter 9. Amen? In this chapter, David remembers his covenant with Jonathan and shows kindness to Mephibosheth. And this is a clear picture. This chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9, is a clear picture of the grace of God at work in anybody's life, in the lives of his children, you know? Verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9 in the NLT. One day, everybody say one day, David asked, is anyone in Samuel's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And then when the servants came, they summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to him, to them. And then Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodibar. And so David sent for him and brought him from Lodibar, from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. In humility, amen. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Restoration. Hallelujah. Amen. One day, God's timing. Amen. One day. And then God even made Mephibosheth and his 15 sons and 20 servants to serve Mephibosheth. You know? God is good. Amen. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's sons. That's in verse 11. Mephibosheth inherited his seat of honor and restoration through God's grace and obedience. Amen? Even though he was crippled, when he sits at the king's table, are you going to see his crippled feet? No. That fine tablecloth is going to cover his crippled feet. He has a place of honor. Now, let's think about all the naysayers, all the doubters, everybody that looked at him in Lodibar, those who knew that he was King Saul's grandson. This is where you are with us. But one day, said the Lord, you know, God is the ultimate game changer. He will change it. He will change it up for you. Doesn't matter how long it takes, he will change it up for you. So do not cast away your confident trust in the Lord. Never cast away your confident trust in the Lord. You could be down 59 points. Oh boy, hallelujah. Oh, but Mephibosheth's seat was prepared for him long before he sat in it. And I want to believe that that seat had been assigned to him even before David and Jonathan made that covenant. Remember, God sees the end from the beginning. I'm not considering some things, all things. Amen. You're never counted out with the Lord. Never. I mean, we all saw yesterday, we saw the New York Knicks become champions after a 53-year drought. Yeah, sorry I wasn't rooting for New York yesterday. I just wanted to see more basketball, but the ladies in my life wanted basketball season shut down. So thank God, God answered their prayers. I was like, but, you know, God knew that they would be elevated yesterday. The Lord knew that. Regardless of how long it took them, regardless of how they had been chastised, how they had been put down, how they had been looked down at as underrated, God had a perfect plan for them. Yesterday for them was a seat of honor for them. Because when you've won something, the winner, like a championship game, winning, after all the hard work you put in, and you know it wasn't by your basketball prowess or whatever. It is the Lord. It is the Lord aligning everything for you. You know? Trust God to turn the pages of your lives, brothers and sisters. Just follow him. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. What God has in store for you is incredible. It's super incredible. Super incredible. What he has for me is incredible. What he has for you is incredible. Can't even begin to fathom it. You can't put it into words. When you dream, you can't see it. Because whatever you dream, it's bigger. Amen. Now, next week, we celebrate Father's Day. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank God for our Heavenly Father. I mean, we thank God for the fathers in the house. We thank God for all our men. But we can surely learn from this multi-generational story of Saul, Jonathan, and Mephibosheth. You know? You can see that a father who does not honor God, like in Saul's case, he will fall. It can have lasting negative impact on your children, your generations. We need to understand that our fathers, as fathers, our decisions and actions, they will never end with us. They don't end with us. No, you honor God. You leave a legacy of honor. You dishonor God, that's a legacy you want to leave for your children. That's not fair on them. And that's not God's best for you. So we could all see that Jonathan's life was cut short. Bible doesn't say why, but could it be because his father dishonored God? They both died on the same day. Even though he was a great man. He's a great warrior. He was loved by the people. But while Jonathan was alive, he broke that curse of dishonor in his family. Amen? He chose to honor God's will. God's plan, God's agenda. He submitted himself. And ultimately, Mephibosheth was elevated as he inherited his seat of honor because God honored God. God grant us the wisdom to make decisions and take actions that honor him. You know, so as I wrap up this afternoon, God has prepared and reserved seats of honor for every single one of his children. You know? But you have to honor him to get there. Honor him to inherit your seats of honor. You know, I had a seat of honor in here for somebody today. And so this seat was reserved for Mariah. So Mariah, it's your seat. You've got to come sit up on it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, amen. As she sits, as you watch her, she sits on her seat of honor. The Lord will honor her. That will be the case for every single one of us. The seat was reserved for her, was prepared for her. And now she has inherited that seat. Fulfilling in our lives, that's how it is. Fulfilling what God has already prepared and ordained for us. Amen. Do you want to stay here forever? Thank you, Mariah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's how it is. You know, the seats of honor have been prepared for you. They've been reserved for you. You have to continually honor God, prioritize God, seek him first. You must honor God to unlock his honor in your life. Honor him at all times. Our God is not an impromptu God. He's never impromptu. He's very strategic, very proactive. Nothing is unplanned. Nothing is happenstance. It's not a coincidence. This is the Lord's plan. It's incredible. Whenever he makes a promise, he has made a provision for that promise. Amen. And God is calling us to recognize and embrace all that he has in store for us. Please let's be on our feet this morning, on our feet this morning, as we wrap up our service, as we bring our service to a close. Oh, this afternoon, amen, 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 amen. Thank God, amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Just thank God for preparing seats of honor for us. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Because you see the end from the beginning. You have a good plan for your children. In this season, you've promised that you'll place us in seats of honor. We will sit with princes. We'll walk upon the high places of our earth in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive every seat of honor that you've prepared for us. We receive it in faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, purpose in your heart to honor God in all that you do. The divine basics, putting God first and everything else he will provide. Father, we just surrender our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Our hearts of honor, O God. Give us the wisdom to always honor you, Lord. To not trivialize honoring you. To not take shortcuts where honoring you is concerned. Never take shortcuts when your word is concerned in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you because you're never impromptu, oh God. You're a good God. Have the best plan for us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us to walk with you. Turn the pages of our lives, oh God. You've written the perfect story, and we thank you for that. But Lord God, we just yield to you. We yield to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for your word. To you be all the glory, to you be all the honor, to you be all the adoration. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.